This is the Morrow Midday Show.
But wait, there's more.
On ESPN Radio.
Yes, it's back again. Sadie's back. Tell a friend. Guess who's back?
Final hour of the Morrow Midday Show with Luke Morrow here on ESPN Radio. We'll talk some quarterbacks coming up in a little bit with Anthony Tresh from Pro Football Focus. And in just a moment, we'll get the picks of the football weekend from Lee Sterling in just a sec. But the Morrow Midday Show is brought to you by Baker Roofing. They've been in business for over 100 years, and they're one of the largest, most recognized roofing contractors in the United States. They provide residential and commercial roofing. And in 1915, Baker Roofing Company was founded on the promise of always good work. So give our friend Matt Johnson, general manager of Baker Roofing Charleston, a call, or head on over to bakerroofing.com and also check out their incredible history and see all the different roofing types that are available online at bakerroofing.com. Over 100 years of always good work, Baker Roofing, bringing you the Morrow Midday Show each and every day. Every Thursday at this time, we catch up with Lee Sterling to get his picks of the football weekend and preview some of the biggest games going on this weekend. You can follow him on Twitter at Paramount Sports. Check out ParamountSports.com. Lee is with us now. Lee, good afternoon. How are you? Hold on. We got him now. Couldn't hear you. Lee, we got you now. Good afternoon. How are you? No, never mind. We seem to have lost Lee. All right. We'll figure that out and try to reconnect with Lee. We had him and then popped him up. Got nothing. So we'll try to reconnect with Lee Sterling. Check him out at ParamountSports.com on Twitter, or I should say, check him out on Twitter at Paramount Sports, or head on over to ParamountSports.com for all the latest. And we'll reconnect with Lee here in just a moment. Closed out last hour talking about that Thursday night football game tonight. Rodgers and Kyler Murray, it's lost a little bit of its steam lately in terms of some of the guys out with COVID and injuries and such, but a heck of a matchup on paper. And for Green Bay, you have this game. You have the Chiefs next week as well. So the Packers, I would say they're a soft 6-1 if there's such a thing. They'll really be tested here these next 2 weeks, starting tonight on a short week on the road against Arizona. We'll get to that and all sorts of games here this weekend. And so let's see if we have Lee now. Lee, good afternoon. How are you?
I'm good. Boy, it's going to be one whale of a weekend. I don't know if we've ever seen this year this many big college games. So it should be fun.
Yeah, absolutely. Always is. And I know before we get to the picks, I know at ParamountSports.com, you always have a lot of stuff going on. And
yep.
I'm sure this weekend is no different.
Well, we're going to keep up the promotion that we started last week. It was just so popular. I was here till after midnight, Thursday and Friday night. So I know there's a lot of people love to join me. So thought of this promotion. The guys in my office are not happy with me because they're working almost double time. But it's all five sports, football, basketball, Baseball World Series, hockey, and UFC this Saturday and next Saturday. 10 days, full 10 days, all five sports, $100. That's right, a hundo. $100 bill, and we're going to text you the plays usually by 3 o'clock. Weekdays, weekends by 11:30, and just my way of saying thanks. And this way you can get involved, try us out, and after the 10 days you can pick and choose which sports you want to go with.
Perfect. Check out ParamountSports.com. Let's talk about some of these games this week. And like you said, some great games in college football, especially on Saturday. And maybe none bigger than Michigan, Michigan State. Michigan favored by 4 against Michigan State. Top 10 matchup. First time since the 60s. They've both been in the top 10 when they play one another. We know Harbaugh has struggled against top 10 teams. Who do you like in this game?
What did you think this line was when it came out? What was it going to be, Luke?
I probably would have guessed good question. I would probably have guessed Michigan 3, I guess.
Okay. I thought it was going to be 1.5.
Uh-huh.
So I think they're maybe giving the name, the brand Michigan, maybe a little too much here. And I like both running backs, Hassan Haskins, number 25, and number 2, Blake Cormore, the change of pace guy. Those two guys combined for over 1,300 rushing yards and 10 touchdowns. But I think Kenneth Walker, the third, for Michigan State is special. I mean, 997 yards rushing, 9 touchdowns, 6.6 yards per carry. They win this game, I'm telling you right now, he's going to be in New York for the Heisman. He's going to be in the top three. So I just love what Peyton Thorne's all about, the quarterback from Michigan State. He led his team back against Anna, didn't flinch at all a couple weeks ago, and now we're going to find out if Cade McNamara, if they fall behind. He hasn't had to play from behind this year. If he does, he might be throwing into the teeth of the Spartans' covered two defense. And Michigan State has won 11 of the last 13 against the spread. I'm calling for the upset. Wrong team favored. Michigan State 24-21.
I think that's the fear with Harbaugh, too, that he's due for a letdown here Saturday in this big
game. And whoever thought that? You know, after like a year or two, you thought this program, they were just going to dominate. They were going to take over maybe even for Ohio State. Even though they're 7-0, I still have my doubts.
Yeah, I certainly understand. We'll see you on Saturday. Georgia, the number one team in the country, they've been excellent. They take on Florida, one of the biggest rivalry matchups we get every year in college football. Florida, though, just 4-3 this year. Georgia is a 14-point favorite. You know, Dan Mullen will lose games he shouldn't, but he oftentimes competes in games he probably shouldn't either. So who do you like in this one with that big number?
Yeah, and people forget this is the last game that Georgia lost last year. They've won every game since then. They lost 44-28. They were leading in the game, and then Kyle Trask just went off. I mean, he was on fire. But to beat Georgia, you got to be able to throw the ball. So, I mean, Florida, they've thrown 12 interceptions this year. Georgia, pass D, three touchdowns they've allowed. That's it with eight interceptions. I have a feeling JT Daniels is going to play. He's been practicing all week, and he can push the ball down the field. I think payback is a you-know-what. I think Georgia, 25-7 against the spread as a road favorite. No Kyle Trask, no shot. Georgia, 38-17.
And then you get Clemson on Saturday against Florida State. Of course, a game we'll be paying attention to here. I'm surprised Clemson, and they'll still be favored in a conference game here by 10. They haven't been blowing anyone. They haven't been winning by double digits at all this year. A lot of close games. They've been scuffling. We know it very well. And they got a Florida State team that's been playing better here this month. Yep. So Clemson, favored by 10 against Florida State. Who do you like in that one?
And usually the spread record tells you all about a team, how they're playing. Mm-hmm. Clemson, one of two teams, has not covered spread all year. Oof. So the quarterback, DJ, just four touchdown passes. We're past half point in the season. I mean, Dabo's offense now on par. Believe it or not, how about this? They're right neck and neck with Rice at 117th in total offense and 115th in scoring offense. FSU's Jordan Travis, he looks like Charlie Ward Jr. out there lately, making plays and throwing and running. I'm calling for the outright upset, Florida State 24-23. I think psychologically Clemson's done.
Ooh, heads will roll if that happens on Saturday.
Right.
Moving to the NFL, as we talk with Lee Sterling, as we do at this time every Thursday, get his picks of the weekend on Twitter at Paramount Sports. Check out ParamountSports.com. In the NFL on Sunday, you get Tom Brady and the Buccaneers on the road to New Orleans. Brady, the one team he has struggled against since coming to Tampa, has seemed to be this Saints defense. The Buccaneers are favored by 5 on the road against New Orleans. Who do you like there?
I think the New Orleans defense is special. If Jameis can just play a little bit better, and I just throw the ball up a bunch of times. I mean, the New Orleans secondary is awful. I mean, they'll commit interference like 30 to 40% of the time on any ball thrown 20 yards past the line of scrimmage. I mean, Richard Sherman was playing. He was done 3 years ago, and he's out now. So just tells you how bad and how desperate they were. And also, A.B., no A.B. I mean, he looks like he's turned back the clock. He's out for this game. I mean, he looked like he was 7 years old again. So I like New Orleans. I think they pulled the upset here. 28-24.
Yeah, wow, interesting. And the other one Sunday in that same division, we'll have our eye on this one here in this area Sunday. Panthers-Falcons. The Panthers, obviously, four straight losses. The Falcons, back-to-back wins, they're playing a little bit better. Atlanta favored by 3 at home against Carolina. Who do you like there?
I just can't back Sam Darnold right now. Yeah. I mean, it looks like you watch him, his body language. Like he's done. I think they might even trade for Tua now if they got the chance. So they're just right now in no man's land. Even when McCaffrey comes back, if Darnold doesn't get better, they might just go to some direct snaps here. So it's gotten that bad. On the other side, Kyle Pitts, I mean, what a weapon he is. What a steal even at number 4. 16 catches the last 2 weeks. I mean, even the one time he was guarded, he made a circus catch here. So you just can't underestimate how how bad a team is when they're having quarterback problems here. And I don't know what Carolina's going to do. Maybe they bring back Jake Del Holm. Maybe he's the answer. I like Atlanta here. I think they win and cover 27-17.
Yeah, I don't blame you. Very hard to back Darnold right now the way he's been playing. Game of the week. We've been talking about this afternoon. Yep. Looking forward to the matchup tonight, Thursday Night Football. Not often do you see Rodgers as almost a touchdown underdog here on the road against Arizona, but a big game tonight. How can people get your thoughts and pick for that one?
So if he wins this game without his star receiver and someone who I think is the best receiver right now in the NFL, I mean, he's almost unguardable, and on defense without their best pass rusher, best cornerback, they should just put him in the Hall of Fame. Don't even wait the 5 years. So should be a fun game here. Arizona, undefeated. I know a bunch of Dolph fans are getting together tonight. They're hoping that Green Bay knocks them off. They can open that champagne again,
yeah.
and that keeps their record unblemished. So you want to get this game for free? I'll give it to you. I got a real strong opinion about this game. Call 800-400-9741. We'll give you Arizona and Green Bay, maybe the biggest Thursday game of the year so far on me. And we're going to continue that tradition, and I decided to keep it up for one more week. You can get all five sports, 10 days. We text you the plays for a hundo. That's right, $100 bill. Football, basketball, baseball, World Series, hockey, and two UFC cards this Saturday and next Saturday. $100, probably 60, 65 selections. One place to get it, ParamountSports.com.
Perfect. Check him out, ParamountSports.com. Follow Lee on Twitter, at Paramount Sports. He joins us every Thursday at this time for his picks. Lee, appreciate it as always. Enjoy the weekend.
You too, buddy. Take care.
Likewise. Appreciate it. Lee Sterling. Yeah, you know, it feels like a trap. Like I'm about to step into a bear trap. I told you to take the Packers. Oh, the writing may be on the wall. I could see them laying an egg tonight like they did in week one. But if you're going to give me 6.5 with Aaron Rodgers, even if it's on the road, short week, long trip, down three receivers, I get all that stuff. But what do I always warn you? And I'm guilty of this oftentimes week after week. And it's when I usually get the picks wrong, when I pick with my heart instead of my head. And believe you me, I don't have much space in my heart for the Packers, but I've fallen into this trap of Patrick Mahomes all the time, where you just trust Mahomes. Even when the pick, right, when everything tells you, go against Mahomes, but you just can't bring yourself to do it. Similar here. Rodgers is a 6.5-point underdog. These teams are separated by one game in the standings. Maybe I'm being a real square right now. I'm being the sucker. Vegas is sucking me in. I'm stepping in the bear trap. But if you give me 6.5, I got to take it. Rodgers as a 6.5 underdog, 4-2 against the spread when he's an underdog of over 6 points in his career. I'm going to roll this night, Rodgers. On a throwback Thursday, I remember, you know, because this is going to be on paper the best Thursday night matchup we've ever had. I remember the first year of Thursday night football. I've told this story before. You probably don't even care. But my Minnesota Vikings, the first time they were on Thursday night football was against the Packers. And I was so excited. Thursday night football was the first year. It was new. It was fresh. And it was a terrible game. Packers won 9-7. The Vikings' only touchdown was a pick six against Brett Favre. It was right before Christmas, and the Vikings had 100 yards of total offense that night, 104. And it was brutal. And that was the first time I watched my team on Thursday Night Football, and it was new and it was exciting, and ooh, football on Thursday, and it was such a tough watch and a terrible game. Fast forward 15 years, the Packers are playing tonight in what on paper is the best matchup we've ever had on Thursday Night Football. I'm looking forward to it. We'll catch up with Anthony Tresh from Pro Football Focus when we come back. Talk about some quarterbacks. Why is Clemson struggling so much on offense? What has gone wrong? And we'll talk about some other guys as well with Anthony when we return. It's the Mar Midday Show right here on ESPN Radio.
It's Throwback Thursday.
What's today?
It's Thursday.
Really? Feels like Tuesday.
Tuesday has no feel. Monday has a feel. Friday has a feel. Sunday has a feel.
I feel Tuesday and Wednesday.
All right, shut up, the both of you.
On the Morrow Midday Show.
It's the Morrow Midday Show with Luke Morrow here on ESPN Radio. Appreciate the time. Last segment from Lee Sterling of Paramount Sports giving us his weekly picks of the football weekend. If you ever miss anything from the show, you can always catch it on demand. Just search ESPN Radio of Charleston, however you listen to your podcast. And joining us now from Pro Football Focus is Anthony Trash, who is their senior college analyst. Does a great job breaking down everything going on in college football and joining us now to talk about all sorts of different quarterbacks and maybe can answer the question for us of what is going wrong with Clemson. Anthony's with us now. Anthony, good afternoon. How are you?
I'm doing well. How are you doing?
Doing well. Appreciate the time. You can follow Anthony on Twitter at @PFF_Anthony. All right. Can you help us understand, what have you seen from Clemson this year, the difference in this offense compared to years past and how bad they've been? When you look at this Clemson offense, what are the issues for them this season?
Yeah, from a schematic perspective, it's really no different than it has been, you know, in recent years, you know, under Tony Elliott. But they just really have superior, far less talent. I mean, it's just really not what it had, you know, they've been used to. You know, that quarterback position, you know, previously held by Trevor Lawrence, of course, now in the NFL, now DJ Uiagalelei, he's been very inaccurate with the football. And that was a little bit of a concern, you know, even though he did perform, you know, significantly better in his two-spot starts last year. Than he did this year. I mean, the accuracy was a little bit of an issue, and that was a concern for us moving in, and it's been a bigger, you know, issue than we kind of expected. And then also, too, you look at the receiving room. I mean, that offense is very screen-heavy. Around a quarter of their pass attempts are a screen of some sort. So it's really reliant on the, you know, the receivers to make plays after the catch and really get open, too, downfield. And they can't separate, and they can't make plays after the catch. And then also, too, the offensive line. I mean, it's been the worst it's ever been in the PFF College era for them. And then you kind of bake all that in there, too. Of course, the running back room, you lose someone like Travis Etienne, who's, you know, the second most valuable running back of the PFF college era behind only Christian McCaffrey when he was out at Stanford. So, I mean, it's just been every single position group. They just really have not been up to Clemson standards. And I think that part of that kind of falls on, you know, the coaching staff, of course, the players. But I think the coaching staff, you know, they kind of need to be, you know, in question here just because, you know, you recruit some of these guys and, you know, you need to kind of adapt to them. And you didn't really have the guys to run the offense they want to run. So it's just kind of been a big, you know, question mark and a little bit of a mess.
Yeah, it's interesting what you said there at the end. Let me ask you about that, because Tony Elliott, offensive coordinator, has taken a lot of heat. And this offense, I mean, quite frankly, it's been terrible this year. When you look at what they do try to do in the scheme, you know, is there a problem with the scheme and the plans and the playbook? How do you view the offense from the coaching perspective and the job that Tony has done this year?
Yeah, I mean, again, it just kind of goes back to what I was mentioning a minute ago. They just don't have the players to fit that scheme, right? And, you know, what I think what makes good coaches, you know, what they are, is that, you know, you can take players and you can adapt to their strengths. You know, you play to their strengths instead of sticking to your guns and, you know, forcing them to play in the offense that you want to run. And, you know, Tony Elliott, they're sticking to their guns. They're running the offense that they want to run, that they have been running, and they just don't have the players to do that. You know, of course, DJ Uiagalelei, the action's been an issue. He's made some pretty poor decisions as well, you know, overall through the course of the year. And, too, I think some of the RPO stuff that they do run, sometimes you see some of those bad decisions pop up there. And so it's just really been, you know, from a schematic perspective, it's never been great, but they had just these, you know, freak talents where they could make it work, right? And, you know, even when Trevor Lawrence was there, it wasn't the best, but, you know, when you have, you know, generational talents on that side of the ball, you can get by with it, and they did. But, you know, now they're starting to get a little bit of exposed, the inexperience is starting to show, and, you know, now that's when they're starting to get, you know, questions, you know, about the scheme, whether or not they need to make changes, and, you know, so on and so forth.
You mentioned DJ, the accuracy. For DJ in particular, his struggles this year, when you look at that quarterback and what he brings to the table, is it, you know, is it mechanics? Is it the scheme and maybe a bad fit? Maybe was he just oversold to us? You know, like, it's been such a surprise to see the struggles from him in particular this year, especially how he looked last year. Can you try to explain why DJ has had such a difficult season so far?
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely been mechanics. You know, that's been the biggest thing there. And, you know, you look at what he would do. So the big concern for us last year when we were watching him, and it was interesting because that first start, that's when it really noticed, and they took these throws away from him in the second one. And that's when we were a little, you know, cautious on him, just a little bit. So on sideline throws, he had a bad tendency to really, you know, swing open. He wasn't setting the hallway. You know, he wasn't, you know, pointing that pinky toe to the target. He was just completely swinging it wide open and leaning over the top, causing him to go off balance, and that's when he was airmailing throws. It's been the same issue this year. You know, he's got to get better, more consistent in that regard. You know, he does have an absolute cannon for an arm. I mean, he probably has the strongest arm in college football up there. You know, one of the strongest arms. He no doubt has that, but that's when the whole arm strength versus accuracy thing comes into play, and why, you know, arm strength is kind of the cherry on top of the quarterback position, because if you can't really do anything else, then you're going to be kind of like what DJ's been this year. And then, you know, another issue too, along with the accuracy and, you know, the decision making, is like with a guy like DJ, you know, he can do some straight line stuff in the run game, but, you know, when he's under pressure, you know, and he's been under pressure a lot this season with that offensive line, you're seeing, you know, some sacks being taken because he's not so mobile. And sometimes really rushing throws, and that's when also some of those, you know, bad mistakes and turnover-worthy plays kind of pop up. And so it's a variety of factors, but those are the three big ones right there.
Talking with Anthony Tresh from Pro Football Focus on Twitter at @PFF_Anthony. Let's branch away from Clemson. So far, from what you've seen this year, who would you say has been the best quarterback in college football this season?
Yeah, I mean, that's a tough one. I mean, right now, you know, from a Heisman perspective, I would probably lean Matt Corral, but it is a very tight race between him and Bryce Young. I mean, Matt Corral, he's been, you know, the quarterback we kind of expected this year, and even a little bit more dangerous on the ground, so that's for sure. You know, very timely, very accurate, making the right decisions in Lane Kiffin's offense. It's very friendly to him, but at the end of the day, you know, he's doing exactly what's asked from him week in and week out. Bryce Young, I mean, what he's doing at his age, it's honestly incredible. I mean, we've seen it just a handful of underclassmen, you know, first-time starters really produce at an elite level, and Bryce Young's about to join that, you know, rare group right there. I mean, his ability to, you know, stay calm and composed and make plays when knocked off rhythm, it's really special for that age. You know, not taking a lot of sacks, and, you know, when he's been under pressure a lot. You know, he's just been such a high-level processor, too. You know, very advanced for his age. So those are the top two. I think C.J. Stroud, he's coming along, you know, significantly. I mean, I was really critical of him after those first three starts. I thought, you know, I was like everybody else. I marked Ohio State. You know, I thought they were done. I had the CFP race, but I think they kind of put themselves back in it because C.J. Stroud, you know, he's cleaned it up over the last three games after sitting out in week four against Akron. You know, there was, you know, a mechanical flaw, kind of like DJ a little bit, you know, with what he would do. He lacks core control, that pop, you know, that throwing hip in the back that would pop up in the air. And it would cause, you know, some severely inaccurate throws to wide open receivers. I mean, he's in the perfect situation, in my opinion. Best receiving unit, best offensive line in college football, very favorable scheme. But, you know, he's missing throws, had some, you know, classic, you know, first-year starter mistakes early on. But over the last three games, he's kind of cleaned his mechanics up just a little bit. And, you know, it also kind of goes back to how much was that rumored shoulder injury that he had really went into that. You know, that's a question that we really don't know the answer to. But you can definitely tell that it probably affected him to some extent early on, but also that he did notice this issue and he's been trying to clean it up. And it's really rare to see quarterbacks do that. But he's doing it at a young age, and he's been the best quarterback in college football since week five. So, you know, those three come to mind. That's for sure. But I think, you know, from a Heisman perspective, those three lead the top. But I think Matt Corral is number one for now, but very, very slim.
When it comes to the best team in the country, we know that that's Georgia right now. For Georgia, you look at their quarterback situation. JT Daniels returns to practice. We're hearing, you know, they may split reps even in games. Seems to be somewhat of a quarterback dilemma for Georgia. With that defense, has Stetson Bennett, has he played enough or shown enough to make you believe you could win a national championship with Stetson Bennett, or does Georgia, do they have to count on JT Daniels to come back and play well to finish this thing off this year?
Yeah, I think you keep Stetson Bennett in there until he proves, you know, shows you otherwise, because he's been playing fantastic football this year. I mean, significantly better than what we saw last year. And, you know, it's interesting because, you know, I think Todd Monken's kind of gone back to what he wanted to do. You know, last year wasn't so much the Todd Monken type of offense, you know, and I think COVID kind of affected that. You know, clearly, you know, some of the insults that they were able to do, you didn't have that full offseason. But this year, we're getting the full Todd Monken experience. We're seeing, you know, heavy personnel, play-action passes, and that play-action pass rate's up about 16% year-over-year. I mean, they're using play-action on early downs about 55% of the time. I think that's around eighth in the Power 5. Before that, back in 2020, they were 43rd in the Power 5 in that metric for perspective. So, you know, they're putting them in a good situation, and, you know, using flats and passes out of those condensed heavy formations with multiple tight ends, it's opening up downfield throws for him. And Stetson Bennett, he's been delivering, you know, the accurate football to those open receivers. And, you know, even though he's not having a high rate of tight window throws, he's been hitting the tight window throws too. I mean, he's throwing the ball with touch, and, you know, his arm hasn't been as bad as what a lot of people thought it would be. And so I think right now, plus he has some, you know, a good, you know, factor there with what he can do in the design run game. And, you know, I think he can throw on the run better than JT too. So, you know, I think Stetson Bennett, he's proved everything to me that he can do. I don't think he's an elite quarterback, but I think he is an above average quarterback. And, you know, with Georgia's defense, that's all they really need on that offense. And, you know, kind of going back to that play action point, he has the most efficient passing offense in the Power Five when using play action. Very favorable for him. He's been executing. You know, with JT Daniels, he did have that fantastic game against Mississippi State, one of the best games we saw last year. But after that, when he actually faced a good, real defense, he kind of crumbled a little bit. And, you know, we saw it against Cincinnati in the bowl game. We saw it against Clemson in week one. Even though Clemson's been struggling, that defense has been pretty good. And, you know, Georgia, it was really telling to me that they did not really trust him to throw the ball downfield. I mean, it was by design, quick, short, easy throws that were not going to get picked off. And they were not going to let the quarterback lose in the football game. They're going to let their defense win the game because they knew what they had. And that's what happened. I mean, the only points, only touchdown on the board was from a pick six from Georgia's defense. So, you know, going back to my point, I think Stetson Bennett, he deserves that job. I think by no circumstances, unless, you know, bearing injury or a complete collapse, which I would not expect to occur, you got to keep Stetson Bennett in there and keep JT on the sideline.
Before we let you go, I do have to ask you about Oklahoma. You know, Caleb Williams comes in. Offense looks completely different, at least outside of the first half against Kansas. And people are talking about Williams now, you know, already in the Heisman race, even after just a couple of games for him. As you watch Oklahoma this year and watch these quarterbacks, I mean, how big of a difference, what was the difference to go from Spencer Rattler to now Caleb Williams, where they start to look more like a Lincoln Riley offense? What's been the difference there for those two quarterbacks with Oklahoma?
Yeah, I mean, the Heisman talk already, two starts in, I guess, 2.5 games after playing Texas. I think that's a little out there. But, you know, hopefully he can, you know, continue to play at a high level. You know, from a passing perspective, I think it's a lateral move, if that. You know, cause I think Rattler is one of the most talented quarterbacks in the country. It was just the undisciplined nature of his play. And that's why we saw his average depth of target really decline this season, because Lincoln Riley didn't trust him to throw the deep ball. There were no deep route concepts really built in there. Lincoln Riley came out and said, oh, the defense has figured this out. It's like, no, they haven't. They've been playing you the same way they have since you arrived at Norman, right? And, you know, so it was quite clear. Lincoln Riley did not trust him to throw the deep ball and understand, you know, even though you have the deep option there, you need to figure out when and when not to pull the trigger. And he still would not do that. And, of course, with the off-the-field stuff, which I can't really speak too much on, you know, that's what really led to that. And Caleb Williams, he's been kind of the same undisciplined player, really, as a passer. And we saw it in the first half of that Kansas game. I mean, completely ignored the check down, the running back in the flat, wide open, probably wouldn't have gotten the first down. And, you know, he said, you know what, I'm going to throw the 50-50 ball downfield. It might get intercepted, and it did get intercepted. And he did that, I think, probably four times in that Texas game, which I'll give him a pass. You know, they were down. They needed those types of plays. But there were multiple times where, you know, even the receiver was at the sticks wide open, and he passed him up, saw him, passed him up, and went, you know, for the long ball. And it worked out for him. The receiver went up and made him a play. But, you know, at the end of the day, that's not really a sustainable way to win. And we saw that with that throw against Kansas. And that's Spencer Rattler 1-1. But the difference between the two comes with the running ability. Because, you know, Oklahoma, they won the game at the end in the fourth quarter because of Caleb Williams', you know, dynamic rushing ability. I mean, yeah, I think he had like 320-plus yard runs in the final 8 minutes of the game. You know, Spencer Rattler, he's athletic. He can, you know, he can create some plays with his legs, but not at the level that Caleb Williams really can. And when you pair that with, you know, the type of, you know, the personality and the type of distraction that they had, and, you know, obviously the fan base was, you know, getting a little antsy with him on the field, you know, I think you might as well just keep him in there, you know, and make the move. And I think that was the right decision at the end of the day, just because, you know, Spencer Rattler, he would be starting at, I would say, 125 of the other FBS schools right now. I mean, he really, that's why he's still even consideration for the NFL draft, is because he's that talented of a player. He's just got a lot of stuff to work out on, you know, with his quarterback ability. So, you know, I think with Caleb Williams, I'm still kind of in doubt of their national title hopes. They were my preseason pick to win it all, but I don't think that they're going to be that team anymore after seeing some of these other teams in the way they kind of slipped offensively still. But, you know, I think there's reason to be bullish on them in the long term because, I mean, again, what Caleb Williams is doing, he's a true freshman. It's really astonishing.
Yeah, sure is. He's Anthony Tresh, senior college analyst at Pro Football Focus on Twitter at @PFF_Anthony. Great stuff. Appreciate the time, Anthony. Enjoy the weekend of football.
Of course. Thank you for having me.
Hey, pleasure's all ours. Appreciate it. Anthony Tresh from Pro Football Focus. Good stuff. He says stick with Stetson Bennett. You know, we got Georgia-Florida on Saturday. We may see four quarterbacks in this game. There are two teams that are splitting reps at the quarterback position. JT Daniels is on his way back here. And for Florida, Dan Mullen seems to be a little stubborn in not making a full change at the quarterback spot. So just putting Richardson out there from time to time, using both guys. We may get four quarterbacks, and not because of the score, just because of the way that these offenses have been operating in that Florida-Georgia game on Saturday. But that's my one concern for Georgia, or at least biggest concern. I'm also curious how they match up with an Alabama if they get to that point in the SEC title game. But really, my biggest concern is just Kirby Smart handling this quarterback situation. Stetson Bennett has been playing well enough for them to be the best team in the country. He's been playing well, but I think to win a national championship, you need JT Daniels. But as Anthony said, right, don't take Stetson out until almost like he loses the job, which I always compare it to the Bears 15 years ago at Kyle Orton and Rex Grossman. You don't just want to pull somebody like that who's been leading the team all year. So I think it's a little bit of a tightrope walk here for Georgia. It's a good problem to have if that's your biggest concern, right, because all the other things, they're getting healthy at their wide receiver position. Defense is great. They're undefeated. They're favored by two touchdowns on Saturday. You have two good quarterbacks to choose from. I think JT Daniels, though, is the guy you need out there. Anyways, appreciate the time from Anthony. We usually don't do back-to-back guests, but that's just how the schedule's lined up today. So appreciate the time from Anthony and Lee Sterling joining us here in the hour. When we come back, it is Thursday. Don't think I have forgotten. We have to do our wrestling wrap-up. It's the Morrow Midday Show right here on ESPN Radio.
This is the Morrow Midday Show on ESPN Radio.
It's the Morrow Midday Show with Luke Morrow here on ESPN Radio. Appreciate the time. Last segment from Anthony Tresh breaking down all things college football. Trying to detail why Clemson's offense has struggled so much this year. If you ever miss anything from the show, catch it on demand. Search ESPN Radio Charleston. However you listen to your podcast. Don't forget that the Fan Talk Families campaign for the Ronald McDonald House begins Monday, this upcoming Monday, November 1st. And we'll go all the way until December 10th. And during that stretch, of course, the 12-hour radiothon scheduled for Thursday, November 18th. So if you have anything, good services, anything that could be used for auction items during the radiothon, please get in touch with Bobby. As last year, they raised over $30,000 during a pandemic. I mean, we're still in a pandemic, but better off now than maybe back then. And if you're able to help, certainly would be appreciated. They did over $30,000 last year during the pandemic and trying to do even better this year. So if you're interested in helping in any way, get in touch with Bobby. It's a great thing that he does every year for the Ronald McDonald House. The Fan Talk Families campaign for the 32 families staying at the Ronald McDonald House begins this Monday, runs until December 10th, and keep in the back of your mind the fact that the Radiothon will be going on November 18th. So get in touch with Bobby if you believe or want to help out with the auction coming up on November 18th for the Radiothon. All right, so every Thursday on the show, we devote a few moments to a little wrestling talk. It's time to do it now. Don't think that I forgot. I know you were worried. You were looking at the clock thinking, oh, no, we're getting close to 3. When are we going to get our wrestling? Well, the time has come. It is time for our weekly wrestling wrap-up.
It's time.
Look at this.
For Producer Joe's.
He's got the fans behind him.
Wednesday Wrestling Wrap-Up.
It's like a dream come true.
Right here.
He's all fired up now.
On the Morrow Midday Show.
And if they're smart, they'll listen. So what are we waiting for?
Well, what are we waiting for? We have some more pay-per-views and supercards coming up. AEW presents Full Gear November 13th from the Target Center in Minneapolis.
Oh.
Major League Wrestling will have their War Chamber November 6th, and that's going to be from the 2300 Arena in Philadelphia. I think you know what that place is, right?
ECW?
Yeah, the former ECW Arena.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, New Japan Wrestling will have Power Struggle November 6th from Osaka, Japan, and also Battle in the Valley from the San Jose Civic, and that's going to be The date to be determined. And also that's going to have Wrestling Dynasty at Madison Square Garden. And the events in America actually from NJPW Strong, which is based in L.A.
Oh.
So New Japan has been making inroads into America.
Yeah, how about that?
Okay. And also, before we get into some of the other things, some big news that has started coming out yesterday. Ring of Honor, one of the major independents, will be going on hiatus after Final Battle next, or in December.
Oh, boy.
Yeah, they'll be taking the entire first quarter 2022 off.
Uh-oh.
Okay, they're going to say they're going to be reimagining the company. Of course, they, you know, have had fanless events since last year. You know, since they restarted during the pandemic, they're going to revert to using the same kind of format that they did during most of last year's shows, using some best of, doing some featured shows on certain wrestlers or factions and things like that. That's what they're going to be doing in the meantime. So Ring of Honor, the TV show, is not being canceled, so you don't have to worry about, you know, calling up, you know, Scott Eisberg or what's the new gal's name? Natalie Spalla. You know, since they are co-workers, they're all owned by Sinclair Broadcasting.
Yeah.
Okay, and ask, okay, what's going to happen? You know, what's going to happen on my TV and on Channel 4 on Sunday afternoons before the news?
Yeah. Well, there you go. Save them from all those phone calls.
Right. Okay, now, all the wrestlers currently contracted, they're free to work for other companies in the meantime. Those whose contracts expire at the end of the year are now considered free agents. And this weekend, because of the hacking that affected Sinclair Broadcasting, which was the reason MyTV did not show Friday Night Rivals last Friday night, Okay, Ring of Honor is going to be showing, you know, one of these featured shows featuring Jay Lethal, who, by the way, is, in my opinion, if he's not the best wrestler to have never worked for WWE, he's up there.
Oh.
All right, and speaking of which, Major League Wrestling is also, they're releasing some wrestlers because they want to shorten some of the TV tapings and, you know, supercard events. The Fightland taping had 15 matches, and they're worried about, you know, live fan burnout and things like that, and they want to keep things to at least less than 3 hours, you know, during tapings. Okay, also released is WWE has released SmackDown ring announcer Greg Hamilton. They said it was kind of a mutual thing. He's been with the company 5 years and kind of has some family reasons for, you know, going back, you know, leaving the company. You know, he's been on the road all this time, and so I think there's some health issues in his family, so wants to be around for them.
Yeah, that's not good.
Okay, try to get you some caught up on some of the title changes and such. Well, a friend of the show, Amber Nova, did win at Shine 69, but she does not get the Nova Championship because she won by disqualification.
Ah.
Okay, and Bianca Belair, who was a track athlete at the University of South Carolina, she's expected to be number one in Pro Wrestling Illustrated's top women's 500 poll.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, former Furman University Paladin Xavier Woods won King of the Ring in the final last week at Crown Jewel against Finn Balor.
Oh.
Okay, NXT had some title changes this week at Halloween Havoc. I'm sure you watched that, didn't you?
Oh, of course, multiple times.
Okay. All right, Imperium's Marcel Barthel and Fabian Eichner began their second reign as NXT Tag Team Champions after defeating MSK, Nash Carter, and Wes Lee, and a sweep by Toxic Attraction. Okay, and then there was Impact's Bound for Glory, which was their WrestleMania. They had four title changes, including two for the same championship, one vacancy filled, and an inaugural champ.
Mm-hmm.
Jordan Grace is the inaugural digital media champion. That was a six-way match. One of the people involved in that was South Carolina's own John Skyler.
That's right.
Okay, the Inspiration, they were formerly known as Iconics in WWE. They made their debut by defeating Decay for the Knockouts Tag Team Championship. That's their, what they call the women's division.
Uh-huh.
New Japan Extra will set to premiere an English-language YouTube show starting Monday. It's probably going to be news and highlights. It's going to be both the main promotion in Japan as well as NJPW Strong, based in L.A., and there's going to be one featured match each week. Trish Stratus has announced as a judge for Canada's Got Talent starting in spring of 2022.
Okay.
So she's still getting out there in the public eye.
Nice.
And also Carmella and WWE announcer Corey Graves announced their engagement on Instagram this past weekend.
Ah, very nice.
Anyway, that's it for now. Between now and then, have a slamming good time.
All right. Our weekly wrestling wrap-up. There you go. We'll wrap up your Thursday when we come back. Interesting Thursday night football game tonight. Game 3 of the World Series tomorrow, as we're now all tied. We'll wrap up your Thursday next. The Morrow Midday Show here on ESPN Radio.
You're listening to The Morrow Midday Show on ESPN Radio.
Radio, TV, and even the press. Say, what's the meaning of VAPORS?
The meaning of this word, without no doubt, means nobody wanna beat that when you're down and out. Now when you're established and got a lot of money, everybody wanna be your buddy and honey. Like tall buildings they call skyscrapers. Kiffa, 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 kiffa. Can you feel it? Another good savior, but this is the season of catching the
fish. Putting a funky finish to your Thursday afternoon here on the Morrow Midday Show with Luke Morrow on ESPN Radio. If you ever miss anything from the show, you can always catch it on demand. Just search ESPN Radio Charleston, however you listen to your podcast. Don't forget, you can take the Morrow Midday Show with you wherever you go by simply streaming us online at charlestonsportsradio.com or through your smart speaker, TuneIn Radio, or our free app. Just search ESPN Charleston in the App Store. Download that app and listen from anywhere in the world right there. Also, you can listen to the podcast through the app or online at charlestonsportsradio.com. Just click on our show page and search ESPN Radio Charleston however you listen to your podcast. If you ever miss anything from the show or want to listen back, the full show always available on demand. Appreciate listeners checking in from at least 10 different states and 3 different countries on this Thursday afternoon. An interesting Thursday night game tonight, Packers-Cardinals. I gave you my official pick earlier. We're rolling with the Packers to cover. I think the Cardinals do win, but I think 6.5 is too high for Aaron Rodgers, even on a short week on the road without 3 receivers, all that stuff. And like I said earlier, like I warned, maybe I'm stepping in the bear trap. It seems like Vegas is setting that exact trap that I'm falling into. I feel like a square right now instead of a sharp. Right, taking the Packers just because simply it's Rodgers is a 6.5-point dog, but he's 4-2 in his career as an underdog, 4-2 against the number when he's an underdog of over 6 points. That's just too many points for Rodgers, even in this tough situation. But we'll see what happens tonight. React tomorrow. We'll roll with the Packers tonight, 6.5-point underdog. I think the Cardinals win, but don't cover. Meanwhile, and we can get ready for this more on the show tomorrow, despite it being a Football Friday, but Game 3 of the World Series will be coming up tomorrow night, as we get a World Series game back in Atlanta for the first time in over 20 years. And the Braves lost last night, didn't play great. The Astros played Astros baseball in the way that they rallied and scored 5 runs. They became the first team in 3 years in the World Series to score 5 runs without a home run like that to begin a game. They singled the Braves to death in the second inning, got some help from some poor defense, and even up the series at 1 apiece. And you may feel bad because you lost the most recent game instead of winning it, but still, the Braves accomplished what they were supposed to. You go to Houston, you earn a split. That's all you needed to do, and that's what the Braves did. And a very fascinating matchup tomorrow night, Game 3, when you have 2 rookies. Technically, they are rookies, even though they pitched. You know, Ian Anderson pitched in the playoffs last year, pitched in the regular season last year, but still, technically, they still are classified as rookies because they didn't throw a lot of innings. And in Game 3, you have 2 rookies on the mound in a World Series game. Both teams short on starting pitching, needing some innings, some length, a good start tomorrow night. Which rookie, quote-unquote rookie, will step up tomorrow? Ian Anderson has been really good in the playoffs throughout his career. Can he do it now in the biggest stage in the World Series? We'll talk more about it tomorrow. We'll react to whatever happens in Thursday Night Football tonight and everything else on a Football Friday tomorrow. I'll give you the most interesting games of the weekend, plus my picks. We'll preview Week 8 of the NFL season and a whole lot more on the show tomorrow. If you ever miss anything from the show, catch it on demand. Search ESPN Radio Charleston, however you listen to your podcast. Life is a series of hellos and goodbyes. For now, we say goodbye. We'll say hello again tomorrow at noon. It's the Morrow Midday Show right here on ESPN Radio.